You're listening to Spokespeople.
Hi, podcast listeners. This is Zoe.
And this is Becca.
And we're part of the team that hosts the Spokespeople storytelling events.
This is the podcast of the true stories told live at our monthly storytelling shows in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay, the story that you're about to hear is a rare opportunity to hear a story by Ian Ratzer, who usually produces our audio and is like Mr. Silent behind the scenes making us all sound really good. This is an awesome story, and I wish you would tell more of it.
This story comes from our March 2013 show, Perfect Timing at Actual Cafe.
Enjoy!
So coming up next is a pretty exciting moment for Spokespeople. Our very own audio technician extraordinaire and podcast director, Ian Ratzer, is going to tell a story coming out from behind the scenes in front of the microphone. So we're very excited. Okay, officially, Ian Ratzer, a recent Bay Area transplant. Ian Ratzer spends most of his waking hours frolicking in the valley between the fields of music and technology. I would really like to see you frolic. He is an avid bike commuter and enjoys rides with Spokespeople, but suffers from a crippling allergy to spandex and goo. Please welcome Ian Ratzer.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm standing here behind a mic, so I want to put in a quick plug for the podcast. Who here is subscribed to the podcast? Becca, you subscribe? Everyone else? You know what you're going to do tonight? You're going to go home. You're going to subscribe to the podcast. Get to hear amazing, like, beautifully rendered, recorded versions of all these great stories that you hear. All right, with that squarely out of the way, I'd like to tell this story and also put in a quick disclaimer. I mentioned cars and driving in this story, just the existence of these things. So I'm from Montreal, Canada. Give you a quick bit of setting. If you're in New York, if you're like at the George Washington Bridge, and you drive north to Albany, and then just keep driving north that same distance, and then say, what the heck, I'm going to do that again, then you're in Montreal. So it's a good ways up there. And this is important to know because in the summer of 2009, which I guess is 4 years ago now, I was playing in this band. We were called Morning Lush. It was probably one of the heavier bands I've ever played in. It was a four-piece, so it was all like lean and mean. I played bass, and there was this drummer, this amazing drummer named John. We used to call him Johnzo because he reminded us of Bonzo from Led Zeppelin, because he had this sort of like super power style. And we had this lead singer named George, and our leader, our sort of spiritual and musical director leader, was this guy named Julian, who played. He was like the riff master extraordinaire. He played guitar, and we had this sound that, you know, in retrospect sounds a little bit like Pearl Jam, a little bit like Stone Temple Pilots, and given the fact that it was 2009, that didn't really go very far. So in the summer of 2009, Julian was married. So early, I guess it was the springtime, we drove down. I was one of the cars in the convoy of cars that drove down all the way from Montreal to the Jersey Shore, where we did the bachelor party, which was fun. And then later on that summer, we found ourselves driving all the way from Montreal, basically diagonally southwest to not Detroit, but the Canadian city right across the river from Detroit, which is called Windsor. And I, you know, in the car on the way down, it was the four of us. Julian and his bride were already there. But it was in the car, it was me, Johnzo, and George, and George's girlfriend. And we were having a great time. We had a fun road trip together, because it's a long way. You know, it was basically an entire day's drive. And so because it was the entire day to drive down there, we stayed at a hotel the night before the wedding. And so we got down there, and I woke up the next morning. I was sharing a room with John. And I woke up and I said, you know, hey, John. And John is this very quiet guy. He's very sort of soft-spoken, man of few words, strong, silent type, you know, like they say. Says most of what he has to say with his sticks. And I say, hey, John, we're like in Windsor. You know what Windsor's really close to? He's like, yeah, Detroit. Like, okay, so you know what they have in Detroit? And he probably said something, some like sports team I hadn't heard of or something. You know, I don't really follow sports. And I said, no, dude, you know what they had in Detroit? Detroit is the home of Motown. Like, this Detroit is where Hitsville, USA was. This is where Berry Gordy bought a house in a residential neighborhood and turned it into this legendary recording studio where so many famous pop hits came out of. You know, this is where, like, we are just across the water from where Marvin Gaye stood in a room and sang, "I Heard It Through the Grapevine." This is where Little Stevie Wonder did his first recordings. This is where Diana Ross and the Supremes, like, recorded about 12 number one hits and a few other dozen that were top tens. This is hallowed ground. Like, you know, think about it this way. We are across the river from this place that is like Mecca and Medina combined, right? I figure, it's like 8 o'clock. I just checked on their site. They have these tours that they run. They'll be running a tour at like 9:30 or 10 or something like that. We can totally get across and be back in time, and it'll be all good, and we'll come back, we'll pick up George and the girlfriend, and we'll go to the wedding, and it'll be awesome. And I give him this massive, like, song and dance sales pitch. I'm singing, "My girl, my girl, my girl." I'm like, "Dude, that's where they record it. We can be there." He's like, "Yeah, let's go." Cool, yeah, let's do it. So we get in the car, and we're sort of figuring out how to get from Canada to the United States, and it turns out it's not a bridge, it's a tunnel, who knew? And then there's these, you know, you have to bring your passport with you these days, and someone's asking us, you know, so what's your business in the United States? We're like, "Well, we're gonna go to the Motown Hall of Fame and Museum, Hitsville, USA, my girl," you know. And the guy's, he's just really like, okay. Sort of surprised that we would want to make this trip all the way from Canada, like across the river, to go see this thing. And we hit a bit of traffic, so we end up taking the second tour, but that's okay. And we get there, and it's awesome. We drive through this totally run-down area in Detroit, and then there's this beautiful house that's been completely duded up on the outside, and you can tell it is Hitsville, USA. I mean, if any of you are friends with me on Facebook, it's one of my profile pictures of me in total tourist mode, just standing in front of it like, "Yeah, I'm here." And then there's a house on one side of it that is in nice shape. And there's another house on the other side of it that's in nice shape. And then every house beyond that and across the street is not in such nice shape. So we pull up here, and we get this wonderful guided tour by this, you know, sprightly tour guide. I end up being, as you could probably imagine already, the sort of annoying know-it-all in the tour who's like, I know, whenever they asked us any of the questions. So, you know, it's just a house. It's nothing all that special. They showed us this little expose where they had a bunch of framed album, bits of album art, and they had some of Diana Ross's gowns, and, you know, all this. This is the old orange couch where Marvin Gaye used to pass out in between recording sessions for What's Going On. And I'm looking at this, like, destroyed, nasty old couch like, "Oh, wow, this is history," you know? They showed us this hole in the ceiling where there was a hole in the ceiling on the top floor, which led up into this big vaulted roof. And this was apparently the place where they stuck a speaker on one end and a microphone at the other end, and they'd feed some of the recording signal through that, and so they would pick up this natural reverb. And when you listen to the old Motown tunes, when there's a hand clap, it doesn't sound like one hand clap, it sounds like a hand clapping in a church, but it's not a church. Apparently it's this vaulted ceiling. But it's a hole in a ceiling, right? That's all there is. And I'm standing here looking at this basically architectural fault and thinking, that is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And then we finally make our way to the studio where you know, I got to stand in this room where all this amazing music was recorded. And it didn't look like much. There were a couple of microphone cables hanging from the ceiling. There was a piano, there was a Hammond V3, and there was a vibraphone, and a bunch of old tapes that had been left there. And, you know, they taught us to do the Temptations dance. I loved it. I turned into a complete tourist. I left. I went out through the gift shop. I bought the T-shirt. I got back to the car with John. I looked at my watch. And we had driven, you know, all this way to come to this wedding. And the wedding was at 1 p.m. or something. And it was definitely like past 12. The wedding wasn't even in Windsor. It was somewhere like out of town at this church, sort of a good ways outside of Windsor. So I'm like, okay, John, we can do this. We're good. He's like, yeah, man, no problem. All right, just get in the car. So we drive, you know, as fast as we can back across. We hit traffic in the tunnel again. And we get back to the hotel. And, you know, we're really stressed out. And we say, you know, George, you know, come on, grab the girlfriend, let's go. We're gonna get to this wedding. We're in a big hurry, and he's just woken up, so it's all good. And we all pile in the car. We change into our nice clothes as quickly as we can, and we're driving through the outskirts of Windsor, which is kind of like the outskirts of, you know, the open country. And we finally arrive at this church, and I realize that, you know, though I am actually, I have a Catholic baptismal certificate, I have not been raised in that tradition. And I didn't really realize what an epic undertaking a Catholic wedding is. So when we got there, like over an hour late, they were just getting warmed up. It was great, you know. So during the, you know, the, and the wedding was lovely, and that was, and I caught the action end of it. I caught the important bits, basically. You know, in the Catholic faith, I think when you're married, like, you're really married. Like, they make sure of it, and they take time. They, you know, they figure every little last bit out. And so at the very end of the wedding, you know, when you line up and you get to shake the hands of all the groomsmen and the bride and groom and all that, I shook Julian's hand and I said, "Hey, Jules, I'm really sorry we were late." And he said, "You shouldn't have told me. I didn't realize." But this is the story of how, you know, John and I got to at least work on our timing. Because in a rock band, the bass player and the drummer are regarded as the rhythm section. They're seen as the two people who need, more than anybody else, to be unerringly exact and to have perfect timing. And this was our exploration of perfect timing and at least our attempt at improving that. There you have it. Thank you.
We got to get you out from behind the headphones more often. That was awesome. Also, speaking of, you guys think you're hearing stories, but you have not heard these stories until you heard them through those headphones. It sounds really good. You can hear, like, every breath. And also, I was joking before about Ian frolicking because, I don't know, I hang out with Ian a good deal, and he just doesn't really come across as a frolicker. But, like, but you know, after hearing him get that excited, I haven't heard you get that excited about anything. So I can now picture a frolicking Ian.
Audio production for this podcast was by Ian Ratzer, with content management by Sarah Barres and photography by Chris Koster. Music for this podcast was by First You Get the Sugar.
If you liked this story, join us for our live show in the San Francisco Bay Area. Learn more by visiting spokespeople.org. That's spokespeople.org.
And like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thanks for listening.
Calling your name in the backyard. That's how